in Nashville.
Oh, I'm doing an autograph show, and while I was there, they snagged me for a little Grand Ole Opry interview, and that was really fun.
Talking with Kathy Garver, who has been on the show a few times already, and we love to have her on. You know, we loved her as Sissy on the Family Affair show, and now we love her as Kathy Garver, the woman of many talents. Your voices are heard all over the place in so many different ways.
Well, it's true, and now I'm getting into the high-tech age. I know you have a fabulous website, and now I have my website, and I'm now trying to figure out how to put audio demos on my site, because I have all of these things from books on tape that I've done and animated series, and as soon as I figure out how that voice gets in that little box, I'll be set.
I have a good web guy here. That's all he does is put up interviews. So
maybe we need to talk to this person.
I will connect you to him if you want. You can probably just mail him the stuff, and he can probably put it up on a site for you.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. I'll have him give you a buzz. His name is Jamie, okay?
Okay, Jamie.
All right. You know, it's amazing to think that people still will... You're Sissy forever, pretty much, you know. This is about 30-something years ago now that the show was on, right?
But you know what happens? It's been on for 30 years. After the original ones, they even started rerunning the episodes after the, I think it was third year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was running concurrently with the original ones, and then it went to Viacom, CBS, and then it went to FX, and now Nick at Night.
It's amazing.
Yes, it has a big life, and we're making it into a movie, so this series I don't think will ever die.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I'm looking at like a review when you were in Neil Simon's Rumors, and it goes through the characters and the thing, and it says you play the scatterbrained wife, Chris. Garver is best known for her role as Sissy in the CBS television series Family Affair. As other guests arrived, and they continued to talk about the thing, it just didn't belong there, you know?
Oh, I know.
But the writer thought it had to be there.
Right. So people identify, you know, with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're known as Pimco. So you'll always be known as that. And I have KathyGarver.com, my website. So when people start going there, maybe they will start using that and remembering me that way instead of Sissy way.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, Pimco, that's very nice. Thank you. PMP Network, Pimco.
That's what I always think of. I see this. I'm like, oh, Pimco.
Gee, thanks a lot. You know, we're email buddies, but doesn't allow you to call me Pimco now. You know?
Oh, I'm sorry. What should I call you, Mark?
You can call me Mark. How's that?
Oh, well, now you can call me Kathy.
All right.
Okay.
KathyGarver.com. You have to go visit there. Now, what's up on that site at this point?
I have actually a lot of things. There are photographs, and there's a biography, and there's a place where you can order photographs. There's what I'm doing now, where I'm appearing. There are links to other things. I think it's a beautiful site. I can say that because I didn't do it. My webmaster did it, and she did a great job.
Well, your webmaster should be able to do the audio as well, then.
Well, yeah, she should. It's probably me just trying to get all the stuff together.
Yeah, well, if she can't, as I mentioned, we have someone here. But don't forget to put a link up to our site so that people can hear your interview over here.
Oh, okay. I will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as I mentioned before, you're well-known for Family Affair, and you did. You were grounded. You were actually a freshman at UCLA when you were cast, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Now, the other kids in the cast have had some rocky roads, and, of course, poor Anissa Jones passed away at 18 years old, which is just amazing.
I know, and she was a wonderful, wonderful little girl. Very sweet and nice, but, you know, it's a hard road to toe sometimes, the show business.
Yeah.
And in this particular situation, she wanted to be normal, and I certainly identified with her in that regard. And at least I was, as you say, I was a freshman, and so I was getting pretty well set, and I was stable, and I had a really nice family. She unfortunately came from a divorced family, and her mother wanted the best for her and kind of pushed her a little bit. But what happened then, too, the show ran for 5 years, and at 14 years old, when she wants to wear lipstick and, you know, she's a teenager, she has pigtails and is dragging around a little doll. So I think that did not sit well with her, and that's certainly understandable. And when the show was over, she said, that's it. Adios. I don't want any more of this.
Did she ever talk with you about all this stuff? I mean, you know, like an older sister?
I went to her 18th birthday, and her mom approached me saying, you know, I wish you'd spend some more time with Anissa. I was busy, too. And she said she'd gotten in with the wrong crowd. But unfortunately, I was just going away out of town for 3 months. I had talked to her previously and, you know, tried to give her some guidance, but, you know.
Yeah.
It was very difficult.
And what about the little Johnny Whitaker?
And Johnny is another, you know, kind of, I guess, strange case. And now he's coming out with things that I didn't even know about. He has a internet radio show called Dr. Zod and Johnny, and I guess it's like an internet Frasier, but he supposedly has a multiple personality disorder, and he was a cocaine addict, and that was a real kind of twist, because he's always kept, you know, a wonderful facade, because he was a Mormon and a Mormon missionary, and then I guess, again, he got in a couple scrapes, and it got too much for him, and so he says, whoops, I better kind of turn around my life here. So he's been kind of clean for, I know, 3 or 4 months.
I know that people like Paul Peterson are really trying to help some of these young kids today. There really wasn't anybody available when these kids were young to help them out, was there?
No, that's a very good insight. There wasn't. And a lot of times, image was so important in the studio days and in my time, and now we've just totally gone around to reality, you know, in shows, The Survivor and Big Brother and EdTV, all these things that say, oh, okay, everything is up for grabs, and there's no nice, but this is the reality of the situation, so...
Mm.
Times have changed.
Yeah, now you have a very handsome young son yourself, Reed.
Oh, thank you. I do.
He's
just
very...
every parent will say that, but he is a fabulous child, I must say.
He's very photogenic, I see, as well.
Thank you.
Has he approached you about maybe getting into showbiz himself?
Well, he's done like a national commercial, and he's done some print ads, and I did a movie, The Trial of Old Drum, and I put him in just as a little extra in that, but I'm not pushing him. Like, he had an interview the other day to go on a print ad, and he says, Mommy, I don't want to go. I want to go to summer school. You know, I said, okay, fine. You know, it's more important for you, to go to school and to summer school. It was just a couple of days. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can keep a balance.
That's the important thing.
I think so.
I think many of the people out there today are the same as years ago. A lot of single women, especially, who need some money, and they kind of push the kids a little bit, or else they're frustrated in their careers, male or female, and they push their kids to try to do what they couldn't do. And sometimes they push them in the wrong direction when they're not thinking of the kids, they're thinking of themselves a little bit more.
I think that's very true, and there are a lot of pitfalls that befall a lot of people. I was talking with a person about maybe getting together some seminars and going around to the country and letting people know what can happen to them and the correct way to go about it. Like, you don't pay $600 to an agent/photographer or something. Say, oh, I'll promise I'll get your kid in show business and things like that, because a lot of people fall prey to that.
There's a ton of those rip-off artists around.
There really are, and I'm surprised, you know, now being older to see it happening.
Yeah. We had talked a while back about a family affair project you were working on with Marty Croft. Did that anything happen with that?
What happened with that is that Warner Brothers said, oh, yes, we're going to make this movie, and they wanted their writer to do it, who was this young girl who was fine but had never done a movie, but they just thought she was a wonderful talent. Then she got onto another project. She didn't get the script done, and the option ran out. So now I'm in the throes of getting the rights back from Marty. So, you know, it's been like a big bouncing ball going back and forth, like who's got the rights game.
Because you had the rights.
I had the rights, and I had a deal. And then Johnny Whitaker came in with Marty and says, no. Marty was a good friend of the producer, and my rights were about to run out. I had like two more months on him, and I was making this deal, and he bought the rights. for just a year. So, you know, it's a Hollywood story. I will be glad when it finally gets, you know, made, and then all the back. Then we'll make a movie about, you know, the making of Family Affair.
Now, I assume that you and Johnny will have some input into the movie when it comes out, right?
That's right. Whomever gets, you know, whatever studio finally gets the final distribution, both Johnny and I will be on as producers and have small roles in it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, but I guess that Brian Keith didn't kind of work a full-time schedule. Didn't he work like part-time in the kids, and you guys were always working around his schedule?
It was very interesting. I think the way that this happened, the producer, Don Federson, at that time, wanted to lure movie stars to do television. It wasn't such a back-and-forth type of thing as it kind of is today. Still, there's a panache where you're just a movie star. But in order to do this, and he did it with Fred McMurray, he promised the people that and the stars that they would only have to work 28 days out of the year, thereby leaving them free to do other projects and movies. So Brian signed on to this, and we would be doing scenes from, like, four different episodes in one day, all of the things he was in, and he would finish up, and then we had to pick up the pieces, which was just really a nightmare for the costumer and the script girl trying to match everything.
I remember reading somewhere that in one scene you were in a scene with Anissa Jones, and she was not around, so you were actually staring at some big guy with a cigar or something.
Well, the kids could only work like about 7 hours, and they had to go to school for 3 hours, so they always kept my close-ups till the end of the day. So I was kind of the workhorse, but that meant that nobody was there for me to act against, and except for maybe the assistant director. And here is this great big guy with a cigar in his mouth, and I'm saying, "Well, Buffy, I know it's going to be all right." He says, "Yeah, Sissy, I know it's going to be all right too." I don't know what believability it created, but there it was.
That's funny. Unbelievable. What kind of memories do you have of Brian Keith and Sebastian Cabot, the adults in the cast?
Well, Brian was a very natural kind of actor, and his personality changed each year according to what was going on in his personal life.
Mm-hmm.
The first year he was married, and it was starting, and he was very friendly and told a lot of stories. And then he was getting a divorce, so he became a little bit sullen and unto himself. Then he met somebody else, and he became happy again. And in their styles of acting, Sebastian was very professional, and he would take the weekend, and he would study, and he would memorize his lines, and on the set he would be studying his lines, and then he'd get up and give a very professional performance. Brian, on the other hand, you know, would look at the scene he was going to do right before the scene, scan it a couple times, and then say, and you can go. So he'd always wipe his hand over his face. You never knew what he was saying, but if he didn't like the script, he'd just kind of mumble it. But he was very believable, you know, and very natural. So it was just, you know, a difference in the way they approached everything.
Yeah. What was it like to be a big star when you were in college? I mean, did your friends start treating you differently?
Well, you know, it was kind of, I was embarrassed by it. I was usually a very outgoing, friendly person. I was a cheerleader in high school and in college. And when this started and people said, "Oh, look," you know, it made me self-conscious. And I said, and then the first time someone asked me for my autograph, I'm thinking, why do they want my autograph? And they shouldn't want my autograph. And then someone told me, said, "Well, it makes them happy." And I said, "Well, all right." So I kind of warmed to it. But I went through a process myself, whereas, you know, I thought, I came more into myself before I resumed my bubbly, energetic personality.
By the way, you know, this is called Segway, but talking about autographs, if someone wants to get an autograph of yours and feel happy, they can at KathyGarver.com.
That's right. Segway. I love that word.
Isn't that a great segue there?
Yes, that was a good segue.
Yes, thank you very much. It was an award-winning segue.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
It's been nominated for the Segue of the Year in the new competition. I'm talking with Kathy Garver. And again, it's Kathy Garver with a K, Kathy Garver, GARVER.com. And you can check out all the things that Kathy's doing. And your voice is on a number of different toys and CD-ROMs and all kinds of stuff. Where can we hear you right now?
I'm doing a new show on Command Audio, and that's a cooking show. I just finished a book called Bradamant, and if you go to timberwolfpress.com, you can download for free 30-minute episodes of this book, which is great. It's also out on CD and cassette, but for free you can download each episode. And then I just did another book called Forever in Your Embrace, which was a romance. And I'm doing four more books for Brilliance Corporation about angels.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are just very busy, but not too busy enough to at least say hi to me online all the time, which is nice.
You bet.
And KathyGarver.com is on the net, and we'll be on PMPNetwork.com shortly. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark. See, I'm calling you Mark.
There you go. Don't call me Pimpco.
No more.
Take care, Kathy.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.